Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled Bible Study for a Change. If you are interested in more of our podcasts or North Valley Church, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning again. We are continuing in our four-part series of how to study your Bible for a change and talking about in the context of spiritual disciplines. This series is a one in four. So we did prayer before we were finishing up the Bible study part. And last week we talked about we've spent the first 3 weeks focusing on what I'm going to call an inductive study method. We were very technical about examining a passage of scripture, pulling out the parts of speech, looking for repetition. We had our colored pencils out, focusing on what the text said and drawing the author's intended meaning out of that. So we spent the last 3 weeks building up on that. And all that is a very intellectual engagement to do that. And I think we all need to be able to do that. We all need to be able to engage the Bible intellectually, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But I think leaving that to be all that we view the Bible as sells us short. I think there's more about how we can interact with God and His Word than just that. I think that's uber important. And like I mean it when I say everybody needs to be able to approach the Bible and intellectually draw the author's original intent out of it. But there's another way to read God's Word too, and it has to do more with our heart. And it makes me think about how we do things sometimes, and there's intellectual and action to it, but there's also a heart component. North Valley Church partners with Frederick Christian Fellowship and Howard and Lynn Carey, and we help make the meals on Monday happen. Millie, can I get that slide? Yeah. So this Meals on Monday is something that happens every Monday evening where people bring food and there's a team of people who show up on a Monday night and somebody just brings a big tray of fried chicken or a big crock pot full of rice and beans, and somebody shows up and assembles these styrofoam containers. Basically, we make a bunch of individual meals to be able to take to homeless folks. We do 80 on a Monday night, right? We put together 80 styrofoam containers, and people show up to bring food, people show up to help assemble food, and then there's a team of people who actually take it down to the Alan P. Linton Cold Weather Shelter and to the Super 8 hotel where some of these homeless folks are staying. When you're doing that, there's a lot of logistics in helping coordinate that and make that happen. But there's something about that that touches your heart. That even especially around Thanksgiving and Christmas, we sometimes stop and go, oh man, there's stuff I do around church. There's things I do to serve, and it's the right thing to do. It's good. It makes me feel kind of good. But when I'm engaging somebody and helping somebody with a need, man, there's something special that happens for my heart. So I'm just taking a moment here to give a plug for Meals on Monday. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, they want to be able to take a Thanksgiving feast to these folks Monday evening. If you think you might be able to help participate in that, if you go to your church center app, you look under events, find that slide, you can click down into it, and it'll take you to a Perfect Potluck website, and you can say, oh yeah, I'm going to bring green beans. I'm going to do this. You can bring food. You can coordinate with the people who are doing it. They might could use a hand in helping assemble food. If you're interested in getting engaged with it, maybe take a ride down with Howard and Lynn and help make the meals get into the hands of the people who are really going to enjoy it. It's an opportunity for our service for God to touch our hearts a little deeper, as opposed to just doing our normal acts of service. So I want you to think about that. A plug for Meals on Monday, if you're interested, and if you're like, wow, I'd really like to help, but I had no idea what you were talking about with the Church Center app and blah, blah, blah. There will be Jim and Patty McBride, who have an iPad, and they're really, really smart people, and they'll be able to help you walk through using their iPad and get you signed up and to be able to see what it is that's going on. All that happens with our service. The same thing happens with God's Word. The time we spend engaging with God's Word sometimes can get a little dry, can sometimes be rather mechanical. Sometimes we get into a rut where we're focusing on the intellectual only part of it. So today I want to just kind of take a step back from the inductive study we've been doing, inductive method study that we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. And I want to talk about what it might be like to read God's Word devotionally. Millie, that's your cue. Yeah, there we go. Again, I think the inductive study method, being able to intellectually power through God's Word and get it, is important. We all need to be able to do that. But sometimes my heart needs to be simply fed with some time in God's Word. Millie, give me the next verse. In Jeremiah 29:13. God is saying, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I want you to think about the phrase with all your heart. When we read that, our typical response, especially in this context, Bible study, all your heart, you need to hit it passionate, hard. You need to go all the way. Yeah, don't give up. Don't quit. Ah, are you only bleeding? It's just a flesh wound. Keep going, right? Don't. That's our mind when we see all your heart. I want you to broaden what we see when we read the words all your heart. What if we include the parts of my heart that are hurting? What if we include the parts of my heart that are confused? What if we include the parts of my heart that are excited? And that I can seek God with all of my heart. Not just simply to be passionate and go all the way, but to bring my whole heart to God. And I can find refreshment for my soul and my heart while I'm hanging out in God's Word. That's our goal today. Last 3 weeks were important and good, but today I want to focus on my heart and what happens when I bring my heart to God's Word. I'm going to talk about 5 ways that you might be able to approach God's Word that might do a better job of speaking to your heart. If you're in a place where I think my heart needs to hear from God, maybe one of these ways will help you hear from and connect with God so that he can refresh your soul. One pause. Millie, next slide. Poor Millie. I told Millie, here's the word I used. I'm really going to manipulate you all while I'm walking through this. I've got slides that I don't want you to see until a certain time. So through the whole thing, I said, Millie, don't hit the slide until I tell you to. So you're going to be hearing. All right, Millie, next. So normally she's on with me, but I'm making her slow down. Over the past few weeks, we've been working on observation, interpretation, and application. I'm not going to talk about those anymore today, but we don't abandon them. They still apply. They still work. Even when we're focused and doing the other things, the other 5 ways that I'm going to discuss in a minute, those are always in play, right? We're always observing to see what the text says. We always are going to interpret it in a way, knowing that it's from God. It has to fit in with the rest of Scripture. It needs to match up with God's character. And ultimately, I'm hoping to find a way to apply it to my life. That, in the background, is always in play when we're handling God's Word. All that said, let's step into a different way to read your Bible. One of the ways you can do it is to memorize it. So let's just start with a simple verse that hopefully some of us recognize, most of us recognize. Some of us probably have memorized this verse already. I was hanging out with some of the kids, and they were memorizing, right? So folks this tall are quoting this verse back to me. So I want you just to take a moment and read through it. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment, and I want you to read through that verse because I'm going to ask you to repeat it back from memory with me. All right, just take a moment. Okay, Millie, next slide. All right, here we go. Ooh, yeah, Pressure now, pressure's on, yeah. All right, let's do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. You were able to say that to me. Most of you weren't looking at your phones, and it wasn't on the screen. I want you to think about that for a moment. We now have that verse, and I can take it with me everywhere I go. I can have that piece of God's Word. I don't need to have carried a Bible around. I don't need it with me. I don't need to even need my phone. And I can get in touch with God's Word. I can recall that verse when I'm still in bed, right? I can be in bed, still in my jammies, got the covers up. I'm like, oh, I should pray. It's okay. God so loved the world, you know, one and only Son. And I can say that verse, and I'm in touch. Okay, I can pray through that. I can think that. When I get it in my head, I get to carry it with me everywhere I go. I get to have it before I get out of bed. I get to have it while I'm driving in my car. Right, there are moments while we're driving in our car, maybe that we ought to be praying instead of hand gestures or whatever else, and recalling what God's Word says about that. I know I used to drive 270 up and down. I was a mean driver. It was not pretty. It was like my excuses. It was before Jesus. But yeah, it was not. I got not pretty when I was going up and down 270 in the morning. Being able to just recall Scripture from memory helps us be able to get in touch and stay connected and in Christ. But you know, that verse we read is kind of it's a powerful verse, huge theological truths in it. But there are other truths that sometimes our hearts need. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. If you've got an issue with anxiety, you might find that memorizing 1 Peter 5:7 would be helpful to you. And then wherever you are, whenever that moment comes and you feel your heart getting anxious, you can say, I can cast my anxieties on the Lord because I know that he cares for me. See, that's a moment where memorizing that scripture can help me in the moments that I'm feeling anxious. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe if you struggle with anger, you might be up for memorizing James 1:19-20. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, even slower to anger. For human anger doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. If you struggle with anger, maybe memorizing that verse will have it inside you for the moments that you need to be reminded, oops, I need to do something different about my anger. Maybe you've got an issue with bad habits or addictions. Maybe you would be helpful to memorize Psalm 29:4. Lord, help me have clean hands and a pure heart. Help me make a wise choice in this moment. And I don't need to stop and open a Bible. I don't even need to search on my phone because it's already in here. Maybe you like to imbibe on alcohol a wee too much. And it would be good to memorize Ephesians 5:18, right? Don't get drunk with wine, but get drunk with God's Spirit. And maybe if we had that inside of us, in the moments we need it, our hearts would be able to be connected with God. Tell you what happens if we get that inside of us, it also gives the Holy Spirit a tool. If it's already in here, the Holy Spirit can go, remember this? Let's talk about this right now. Our hearts can be ministered to if we are able to take a moment, memorize some scripture, maybe the things that we need personally. Think about what it is, that scriptures that would be important to you, and maybe consider memorizing them so you can take them with you wherever you go. The other thing we can do, besides memorizing, starts with an M, is meditate on scripture. In an era of 30-second TikTok video clips, and we just watch them over and over and over, and it's unusual, right? I'm talking crazy talk to say, what if we just stopped and thought about the same thing for 30 minutes, right? I'm way into this. So this is, for me, a scripture that Dan likes to go to meditate on when I'm on my hike, right? I'm going through the woods. I got my backpack on, and I'm hiking, and I get to my place where I'm going to sit down and open my Bible and my journals. I don't even need to open the Bible, and this is going to come to my mind, Psalm 19, Millie. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. There is something calming to my spirit when I am out hanging out in the woods, and I just stop for a moment and go, oh my gosh, the trees are yelling at me. The trees, the sky, the rocks, the squirrels, the chipmunks are all yelling at me, declaring the glory of God. They do it all the time. It's just that I never stop and be still enough and remember this and let it sink in. When I get to do that, if I hold still long enough, it's an opportunity for it to seep into my heart a little bit. And I like just stopping and hanging out here and memorizing that, reading it, and just meditating on the fact that all of nature is declaring God's glory. Another verse you might like to go to, I don't have it on here, but Psalm 139. And you start to realize that God knows your inmost being, that he knows what you're going to say even before you say it. He knows us scarily well. And there's nothing you can do to ever get away from him. Psalm 139, 1 through 12. And hanging out and meditating on that, it's like, oh my gosh, he really knows me. I think I'm hiding from him, but I'm not. Oh my gosh, he loves me. Oh my gosh, he loves me. See, a lot of times we'll read through those verses and go, oh yeah, God knows me. Oh yeah, I can't flee from his presence, blah, blah, blah. If you hit the pause button and meditate on that for a bit, it's like, oh my gosh, God super knows me and he loves me anyway. He loves all the good things that I do. He loves all the times I messed up. He loves me anyway. Meditating on a passage of scripture like that has an opportunity to sink into our heart and change us. It ministers to us. If you're more of a thinker and you want some big God-sized truths, right? Just one verse in Colossians 1:6. Paul talks about that all of creation was created through Christ and for Christ. Now think about that for a moment. We're celebrating Jesus' birth in about a month. the baby that came about 2,000 years ago, but he was here at creation, and creation was done through him, and it was done for him. But he was born just 2,000 years ago. Hang out with that for a while. Huh? The time machine's one option. When you start to wrestle with what looks like a simple verse like that, you start to get the immensity of who God is. And it's about the moments of stillness. But if we don't be still, if we don't meditate on what those passages mean, we miss it. And we go through with this superficial version of who God is, who we are, and his relationship with us. Meditation is an opportunity for us to dig a little deeper into our connection with God. How many people are already journalers that they journal their prayers, Bible time? Me, I'm by myself. Oh, okay, I got one nod. Okay. You might want to consider having a journal. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you to be a journal, but the next few things we're going to do, it really helps if you're writing it out. When you're writing these things out, it starts to become a little more real and it starts to connect. So this is an opportunity where if you've got your paper, your outline with some lines on it, you're going to get a chance to outline some stuff. One of the things you can do with God's word is to paraphrase it. Right? We're reading it from a text, but what would happen if I were to put it into my own words? Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Again, and this is another really weighty verse. Take a moment. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment, and I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to think about what it would look like if you said that in your own words. Millie, if you could give us the next slide. So if Dan were to say this in Dan's own words, I would say, God has shown me goodness. To keep his goodness, he asks that I treat people fairly, that I be merciful, and that I submit to him. Kind of the same verse, but I've said it in my own words. You know what happens when you can say it in your own words? You understand it, which moves you into ownership. If I can repeat it in my words, I'm now in a place that I can own it. And it's not just words on a piece of paper. It's something that I know what it is God's asked me to do. And if I can quote it in my own words, I can carry that around with me everywhere I go. It demonstrates understanding. And it also demonstrates ownership. I can do this, and I know it, and it's inside me now. And it moves my heart to a place where I can now live and act in God's word. Another thing we can do, again, journaling is a cool thing, is to be able to personalize God's word. Right? A lot of times when we read it, it's very objective. It's this guy writing about these people. It's this guy writing in third person about God. And when we read that, it's all very objective, good for us to analyze. But sometimes if I want it to get to my heart, I want to personalize it to make it sound like it's for me. Millie, next slide. Philippians 2:13 in the New Living Translation says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do you see that? It's somebody talking to somebody else, and I can read it and say it's talking about me, but then it's about God. What would it look like if I personalized it and I made me part of that verse? Millie, if you would please. In Dan's personal version, God is working in me, giving me the desire and the power to do what pleases him. When you write that down and start to reflect, it wasn't about you. It wasn't God is working in you. God's working in me. Instead of reading it in second or third person, I'm now reading it in first person. And when you start to see that, when you're writing it out, you see how it seeps into my heart better. It's less objective, and I'm personalizing it. Maybe if your heart just wants to connect with God, find some passages of Scripture like this one and put you in there. And God is not just working in a person. He's working in me. Maybe you want to use your name. God is working in Dan, giving Dan the desire of his heart. And when I see that, it hits me. So this is one way to personalize it. This is personalize it from like my personal point of view. This next one is the way I like to do it. When I do it this way, it weirds me out. It weirds me out, makes my hair stand up a little bit and gets my attention, gets my brain attention and my heart attention. Instead of writing it from Dan's personal point of view, what if we wrote it like God was really saying it? Instead of saying God is working in you, what would the words be if he actually said it? I am working in Dan, giving Dan the desire and the power to do my will. Which is really what that passage is talking about. But oh my gosh, when I see that God is literally saying that to me, which is really what's happening when I'm reading his word, but when I change the pronouns and nouns so that it's God speaking in the first person, man, it weirds me out, freaks me out. And it's like I can see God speaking to me in those passages. If you don't mind, take a moment and rewrite that verse. Do that in this thing and use your name there. I am working in Chad. I am working in Rob. Take a moment and write that down. And as you do that, I hope that it sort of starts to sink in for you like it does for me. That, wow, God is really speaking to me through his word. And it gets my attention. He is telling me, Dan, I'm working in you. It feels different to me when I hear it coming from God's person. We can personalize God's word. The last thing we're going to talk about is really the thing we talked about in the previous month, which is we can pray it. We can take pieces of God's word and just pray through it. We have been doing Friday night, we did that. We prayed through some psalms of Scripture to give thanks to God for who Jesus is and what it is that he's done for us. And we had some worship music to kind of give us some context to lift us up for that time. So this is something that we've been talking about, but it's worth mentioning that if I want to just spend some time connecting with God, maybe I just need to sit with a piece of his word and pray through it. So in Philippians 1:27, Millie, it says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Think about that for a moment. There are just so many times through the day when we just need to remember, man, I want to act and behave in a way that would be worthy of the gospel that God's given to me. Right, when I'm entering a tough meeting at work or I'm about to have a difficult conversation, this is a good prayer to go hang out to and go, man, help me navigate this conversation in a way that's worthy of the gospel you've given to me. When we're preparing for a test in school or we're sitting down and doing a test, I want to approach this test and execute it in a way that glorifies and honors and is worthy of the gospel of Christ. When I'm paying my taxes, in a way that's worthy of the gospel of Christ, right? And that's the rubber meets the road, because lots of us, we're grinding our teeth. Right, dentists are making money during tax season because we don't have any teeth left, right? We've gnawed them all off. However, whatever I'm doing, whatever happens, do it in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. We're entering Thanksgiving. Woohoo! We're going to hang out with friends. We're going to hang out with family. We're going to hang out with food. Lots of food. What are you going to do while you're doing all that stuff? Millie, go back a slide. We're going to do all that. We're going to talk politics. We're going to talk religion. We're going to hang out with family. We're going to hang out with friends. And we're going to do it in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I can celebrate and still do it in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We don't do it on our own strength, right? Well, many of us, I'm hanging out with the family. Some of us, I have to spend the family Thanksgiving. Pray that and say, God, just help me do this in a way so that I'm honoring and glorifying you. That's a place. That is the power of praying God's word and allowing it to seep into my heart and transform who I am and how I respond to the people and things around me. I can memorize it, meditate on it, paraphrase it, personalize it, and pray it. Ways that help God's word seep into my heart in the moments when my heart needs it. I want to seek God with all my heart, the tough parts, the fun parts. And there's a bigger payoff about doing this with our heart. Man, approaching God's word in a way so that it's impacting our heart. Because when it comes time to go to heaven, the entry into heaven is not a 10-question multiple choice quiz. It's not. It doesn't matter what you know. It won't matter how much you know when you get to the pearly gates. That wasn't scriptural, but I said it anyway. What matters is your heart. People look at outward appearance. God looks at our heart. If you want to get God's word into a place that's really going to matter, get it into your heart. It's our heart that matters when we get to the point that we can trust what it is that Jesus has done for us. Our brain has to realize the truths. I mess up. I do sinful things. And it has severed my relationship with God. Our brain needs to come to terms with that. Our brain needs to come to terms with, oh, this guy Jesus walked on earth, talked about him and God and our need, and he died on a cross and rose again from the dead. And when I pay attention to what he said, I realize he is saying that his death on the cross pays the price for my sin. And that if I accept all those truths about who he is, it changes who I am. It gets me into heaven. I don't have to take the quiz. I get there because I trust in him and what it is that he's done for us. It's my heart for Christ that's going to open the door for me to be able to spend eternity in heaven. If you've never thought about that before today, man, think about that. Think about it for a moment, but then check in with your heart. Hey, heart, how are we doing? Are you okay? You know who God is? Is God talking to you? If not, Dan just told me how to get started and help make that go. Let this Thanksgiving be a time when our hearts are showing gratitude for God and what it is that he has done for us. I would like to ask the band to come back up. And while they are, as we're moving into the Thanksgiving season, why don't we just stop for a moment and we'll do a little bit of like we did Friday night. I'm going to pray, but then I'm going to let it be quiet and give you a chance to just be grateful for what it is that God's done for you. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that transforms and renews our minds, but oh my gosh, it refreshes our heart. You're the only one who can refresh our soul. And sometimes our heart and our soul gets tired. Lord, help us remember that your word is there not to just make us smart and renew our mind. Your word is also there to minister to our hearts. Help us be aware of our feelings, our hearts, especially as we go into this season of holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and that we would just be connected with you. Lord, and in this moment when we're turning our hearts over to you, asking you to fill us and refresh us, heal us, soften us, Lord, help us express the gratitude that we have. As I leave just a quiet moment, Lord, I pray that everybody would just take a moment and think of at least one thing that you can be grateful to God for this season. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who made all this possible, made our relationship possible with you. We thank you for your word that ministers to us in broad and deep ways. Help us all be open students, looking for the opportunity on how you want to help us be the people you've always meant for us to be. We're grateful for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.